Hey, Martin, happy Monday to you, man.
You keep saying happy Monday, and I just can't see the relation between happy and Monday.
Well, I have a question for you. You know, I was up all weekend. I was on my knees praying Saturday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night on my knees, beseeching God, pleading with him to make the weekend last forever so none of us would ever have to go to work. Do you think God is going to answer my prayer?
It depends. Were you in your prayer closet?
I was in my prayer closet.
Okay.
I had sackcloth on.
All right.
And I did pray fervently that it would never become Monday, and it would stay the weekend so all of us can just hang out all the time and enjoy ourselves.
Did you not eat anything? Did you fast?
I fasted, yeah.
Okay, good. Let's see. Was there anybody, did you get a prayer chain going? Were there a
I
bunch
did
other
call people and
good.
Tell them, so make sure it was a 24-hour prayer vigil to make sure the
okay.
weekend never ended.
Well, as far as what I'm hearing, you did everything right.
But it's Monday.
I know. What happened? There must have been some key element missing. Was it a prayer? Did you have any prayer circles, or were there prayer squares? Because
well,
if it's a prayer square, it's not going to happen. God likes prayer circles.
Well, there may have been some variations on the circle, but I tried to make sure that the people I called for this
right.
prayer chain, when you mapped it out, it would turn out to be like a circle bigger than the United
but,
States.
But I'm disturbed by the variation thing. If it
yeah.
was one person out of alignment, then the prayer circle was broken.
I think
the God
latitude
and
longitude might have been a little off in some places, so
okay,
it didn't form a complete circle.
That was the problem. So next weekend, you have to find the weak link, because God is not going to be able to act unless you find that weak link and correct it and get that thing in shape.
I got some work to do then.
Yes,
I wish God was in control of his universe.
Oh,
really,
man,
do.
It would make so much easier on us. Instead, we have to tell him what we think he needs to do. I mean, that causes me a lot of pressure.
If he
too.
Only knew what we knew, he wouldn't do the things the way he does them. That's the thing. And I wish he would answer our prayers, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Never mind that. I mean, I know everybody's praying for different things, but he's God. Why can't he make everything happen at the same time? If one guy wants it to rain at the football game, another guy wants it a sunny day, whatever, God should be able to do both things and perform a miracle, for God's sakes.
So I think we're going to talk about prayer this week, don't you?
Apparently.
Wow. Didn't you write a book on prayer?
I did. I wrote a book called Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer.
You know what the problem with that title is? Having
There's
the words,
no problem
having
with the
title. Having the word, the name Martin Zender and the word intelligent in the same sentence. First problem.
It's a figure of speech. Go ahead. What's the second problem?
Oh, having the word intelligent in the same sentence as Martin Zender.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, look at the question on the front of the book. I mean, this was your whole problem.
Do prayer circles work better than prayer squares?
Yeah, that's right. And you screwed up the formula, and that's why we're here today. God didn't make the weekend last
okay,
forever.
Okay, so by the end of this week, people will have enough understanding about prayer to get God to do what you want, correct?
Incorrect. You can buy it. You can go to the Christian bookstore and buy any number of books on prayer, and that's what you'll find at the Christian bookstore, is how to make your prayers effective, how to pray the right way so that God will finally hear you. You'll, quote, break through to the blessed life, and with the right techniques, you will be able to twist God's arm, Dan, and make him do the thing you want. Because everybody knows that what you want is what God wants.
Oh, yeah.
If the Spirit of God is in you, then if you want a new house, and if you want a new car, or if you want grandma to come to the Lord today, then it's going to happen, because how could there be any difference between what you want and what God wants? Yeah. What a deception that is. Now, you know, God listens to everybody. He has big ears. The Apostle Paul tells us to prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
So we do believe in prayer.
We do believe in prayer. You know, it has been told in certain circles, prayer circles, mind you, that I don't believe in prayer because I wrote this book, Intelligent Prayer.
Yeah.
And that, if you don't believe that prayer twists God's arm and that you can't make things happen by your prayer, then why pray? That's the question that I get.
You know, it might be good to tell people we have this word prayer. What does it mean?
First, I want to tell them what it isn't.
Okay, what is it? What isn't prayer?
This is going to rankle some people.
All right, go ahead.
And I love it when that happens.
Yes.
Prayer is not the hand that moves the hand of God.
No, come on now.
Prayer is
come
not
on.
The hand. Yeah, I actually saw that written somewhere. Prayer is the hand that moves the hand of my hand moves the hand of God. How audacious of a creature to presuppose that a creature can move the hand of the Creator. That gives us a passive Creator who is waiting to hear what's going on, as if we're informing them. What? Oh, what did you say is happening down there? Oh, thanks for telling me. I didn't know that. My gosh, if that's your conception of God, then your conception of God needs to raise. Now, that's what prayer is.
So prayer, so if I understand this correctly, prayer is not the hand that moves the hand of God.
Correct.
Wow. Okay, now what is prayer then?
Prayer is a desire for God's will to be done. Prayer is multifaceted. It's pouring out your request to
God. I can ask God to do something.
You can ask God to do anything, as our Lord did. Our Lord,
so,
we can get
so
to this.
So I can ask God
example.
Right now to help me be a better husband.
Right. God knows, yes.
Okay.
Right. And
can I ask God to drop out of heaven a nice dark chocolate bar for me right about now?
You could make your request known to God.
Nice.
And but the answer to that is, we'll get to this verse, we'll show it to you in context.
All right.
Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will garrison your heart.
That sounds like scripture. Did you make that up?
No, I didn't. Go to that scripture, will you?
You want me to read
since
that?
You have all the whole Bible memorized, why don't you go to that scripture and read
why
it?
Why would I have to go to it if
it.
I had it all memorized? All right, here Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that is superior to every frame of mind shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus.
All right, read that again, what he says exactly after, let your request be made known to God. And then what's going to happen?
And the peace of God which that is superior to every frame of mind shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus.
Notice what he doesn't say. Let your requests be made known to God, and then God will be granting you your every request.
Well, isn't that what the Lord Jesus told the apostles? Ask and it shall be given to you.
He did say that, but does that apply to today, or does that apply to when they are made immortal in the kingdom?
Isn't that interesting?
Our Lord Himself.
So even the subject of prayer must follow the teachings of Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's right.
And the beauty of prayer for us is that let your requests be made known to God. You're unburdening yourself. I don't believe that prayer should be careful. I do promote intelligent prayer. That's the name of my book. But when we're desperate, when you have nowhere to go, and your soul is breaking, you go to God, and you don't have to make it a formal occasion. You don't have to go to your prayer closet. You don't have to get on your knees and fold your hands a certain way. You cry out to God, let your request be made known. And then the peace of God, okay, will establish you. Now, what that does is you have now put it in the hands of God. Whatever matter you have that's troubling you, whatever you think you want, you have put it in the hands of God. Now you can go on with your life. I've given it to God, and now I have peace. It doesn't say you have what you ask for. You might not. If it's in a, we're going to look at this too. If it's in accord with God's will, it will happen. It won't happen because you prayed for it. It will be happen because what you prayed came in accord with God's will and intention. God's will and intention comes first. That's the engine, and prayer is a caboose that follows. There's a verse in 1 John that we can get to. If we are praying in accord with His will, then we are having what we pray for. But guess what? If you don't pray in accord with His will, you're not going to get what you pray for. God is wiser than us. Ooh, that's a revelation in Christianity, that God could know better than we know what's good for us.
Right.
I remember before I got married, I had met this girl and I was dating. Most of us dated people before we dated our wives. And I said, oh, God, please make this relationship happen. You know, I really wanted to get together with this particular girl.
Yeah.
And I thought, in my human understanding, that, well, this is the best thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that compared to God, I was an idiot.
Yeah.
I couldn't see the big picture.
You're an idiot compared to anyone.
I'm an idiot compared to anyone. But especially to God, my idiocy raised to magnificent proportions.
Yeah, you are a magnificent idiot.
Thank you very much. Yes. And so I said to God, God, you know better than I do. This is what I want. I made my request known. But then I said, if this is not the best thing for me, which is the equivalent of saying, yet not my will but thine be done, then don't let me have this woman, because I don't know if this could be the disaster of my life. Let's say I could push God's button. Let's say that I could get everything I wanted. I become the director of my own life. My life would be a disaster. To me, the peace that comes from making your requests known, it comes in knowing that you have given yourself, you have given your request to one who knows better than you. Then you can rest, thinking, I can't lose now. If I lose this girl, then that was God's intention. If she comes to me, then that's his intention also. As it turned out, it was his intention that I not get together with that girl. Broke my heart, boo-hoo-hoo. But I still had the peace of knowing that I had placed this in God's hand, and it was his doing. The whole thing was his doing, and so I had peace. Making your requests known gives you peace, not the things you request.
Yep. Did you notice, too, it says, let your petition, a request, be made known to God. Not that God doesn't know what the request is. This is for our benefit.
It is for our benefit.
We make the request known to God. It's not like when we pray, we're letting God know something that he needs to be aware of.
I would hope not. I would hope we're not informing the deity, and yet this is the part of the thinking of Christianity in prayer, that we're informing the deity of what we need and what we want. Can I look at the origins of this word?
Sure, that's what I meant when I said, what is prayer?
Prosuke is the Greek word. Our Lord never mentioned the word prayer. Nobody ever said prayer. They spoke in, it was recorded in Greek.
Wait a minute, God didn't use English
when
he wrote?
God didn't use English, no, I'm sorry. I know that disappoints and shocks you.
Okay.
The word he used, the word our Lord used, was prosuke. It's a three-part Greek word. The prefix pro, P-R-O-S, means toward, E-U. In the middle there is the word well. It's the word where we get the root word.
Evangel.
Yeah, eulogy, evangel, to speak well. And the rest of the word there, uke, is having. And so you put those three elements together and you get toward, well, having. Prayer is toward well having. Well, Martin, what in the world does that mean? You are praying towards someone having it well. Toward well having. I want someone to have it well. Who do you pray toward when you pray?
God.
Right. So prayer is, I am praying for the well-having of God. I want, in other words, God's will be done.
That's good.
And that's what our Lord prayed in the garden.
So prayer is essentially a recognition of God's deity, and you want his will done, not our own.
Yes, and our Lord himself struggled with this in the Garden of Gethsemane when he wanted to be delivered from the cross if it was possible, and yet how does he end that prayer? Yet not my will, but thine be done. And that is our example.
You know what, I was so into this, I didn't realize
it's
time for the end.
It is time for the end. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. If even he said, thy will be done, how much more are we to do that?
This is Dan Sheridan. You can find me at paulsevangel.com.
I'm Martin Zender and martinzender.com. Tune in tomorrow. We got more on this topic of prayer. We're going to teach you how to pray intelligently. See you then.